You're listening to Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flatow. The Olympics, they're just around the corner, and you know they have become synonymous with drug testing, and it's where the term steroids, I think, for most of us, first entered our lexicon when sprinter Ben Johnson was stripped of his gold medal for testing positive for steroids in 1988. That go all the way up to this just this year when runner Crystal Cox admitted to using steroids to win her gold. And with all this attention and testing going on about steroids, well, of course, they are no longer the drug du jour. Now we're getting into the area of something called gene doping, the era of gene doping, according to an article out in the journal Science this week. My next guest is one of the authors. Dr. Theodore Friedman is chair of the World Anti-Doping Agency's Gene Doping Expert Group. He's also a professor in the Department of Pediatrics at the University of California, San Diego in La Jolla. He joins us over the phone. Welcome back to Science Friday, Dr. Friedman.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
Boy, did we just keep going from one thing to the other.
Yes, we do. It's called progress.
This is progress. Tell us what this is. What is this? Is it like gene therapy, gene doping?
Well, what it is isn't quite clear because we're not sure that it exists. But the idea is that the tools that have been developed over the past some years to carry out gene therapy, that is introducing genes into people to correct disease traits, those same techniques can in principle be used, theoretically be used, to modify traits in human beings that have nothing to do with disease necessarily, but have to do with athletic ability, like muscle strength and muscle power and endurance and the way we make and utilize metabolic energy and so on. Genes regulate those traits. We know many of those genes, and we now have, through the successes of gene therapy, we have an inkling, at least, of how we might be able to modify some of them.
Do we have any cases of where someone has actually tried or succeeded in using gene doping?
No. We have anecdotal information. Several cases have come to light. Cases is the wrong word. Several instances have come to light, which begins to look like and feel like potential for gene doping. But nothing documented and nothing proven in any real-world case with any real athletes.
There was talk about a German coach
years
ago. What was that case about?
Well, that was a man named Thomas Springsteen, who was already had been involved in some doping issues with the Turin Olympic Games, I think. And he was found by the German authorities to be on the internet trying to obtain something called Repoxygen, which was a gene therapy material being developed by a British company. This material was intended to produce erythropoietin, EPO. And we know, of course, that's a very popular drug of choice or gene of or material of choice. Particularly in endurance sport, that's highly abused in some kinds of sport. It has been used historically as the hormone itself. But of course, we know the gene that produces it, and it's been possible to put that gene into a virus, a disabled virus, that acts as a kind of a moving van to put that gene into cells. That material was intended to treat people with chronic kidney disease and with cancers, people who are unable to make good amounts of blood themselves. So it stimulates blood production, presumably in patients. And Springsteen is not a clinician and is not a scientist, but an athletic coach. So he was trying to get this material, and one can only assume that he was trying to get it to apply to athletes in order to increase their blood production and their endurance.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if that wound up in any real athletes, but it's quite clear that the world of sport is very much aware of what's going on in gene therapy, keeping tabs on it. Much of it is published material, and so the advances in gene therapy are not unknown to the world of sport.
Mm-hmm.
And for every Thomas Springsteen who comes to light, we're suspecting that there may be others who are not coming to light, but who are just as interested. Hmm.
Talking with Theodore Friedman about gene doping, and let's say that it does occur, or would it be possible to detect it like we would detect, you know, other kinds of cheating in sports?
Yeah, I mean, you raise the important issue. The answer to that is complicated, and in some instances, one can imagine detecting it by some of the same tests that are available now, let's say for EPO, we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. The use of EPO as a drug or as a gene, the effects would be seen in elevated levels of blood production. And so you would test for exactly the same thing. But the World Anti-Doping Agency is aware that the kinds of tests that would be required for gene doping would be different kinds of tests. And so they have a research program very actively looking at the development of those tests. It's a different kind of testing paradigm, but initial results from a lot of the studies at WADA seem to indicate that those kinds of molecular genetic-based tests are feasible and results are looking promising. So the truth is that while we don't have a validated test now for any gene doping applications, those tests are coming.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. What kinds of things will the athletes be tested for? Where is the cutting edge of drug cheating now in sports?
Well, it's of course a constant tug of war between the cheaters and the regulators, and the more the cheaters kind of modify their methods and invent new ways of avoiding testing, the more clever the regulators and the testers have to be to develop new tests. I mean, the tests are modifications of the classical ones for the drugs that we all know, steroids and stimulants and depressants and things of that sort, and agents that mask stimulants and depressants. Mm. There's a wide variety of drugs and methods that have been defined by the World Anti-Doping Agency and the IOC and others that constitute a list of banned substances, and tests are available for all those, and of course those tests are applied
right.
great vigor in elite sport settings.
I think the vision we all have of people who develop the drugs are the scientists in the giant P4 labs with the heavy clothes, the white gowns on, the gloves, whatever. Would this be a correct, the PhDs who are looking to make a fast buck, would this be a correct picture that we have?
I think that it's fair to say that the level of expertise that might be required to apply gene therapy kinds of approaches to sport, the level of expertise is not enormously high, that there are many thousands of people kind of at graduate school level who could carry out the production of these materials. What's difficult in gene therapy and what will be very difficult in sport is to do it safely and ethically in human beings. That's where the art and the real difficulties are found in clinical applications. And we know, of course, that in sport, people who want to circumvent the rules and regulations and who want to cheat won't wait for all the technical issues to be solved and all the I's to be dotted and T's to be crossed and will not pay much attention to ethical standards of doing things to human beings. They will do things with the hope of cashing in quickly on the pressures, responding to the pressures and the glories of sport. So there will be cheating, and I'm afraid that the misuse of these methods that we know from gene therapy, that they are not perfect and that they do carry enormous risks under some conditions.
Because the athletes themselves have become, in effect, I would guess, the guinea pigs for these methods.
Well, I think that's right, and the fact is that the material and information that the athletes have is very sparse and very incomplete, and is obviously given to them with the hope of encouraging them to do something that really the science isn't ready for. So under those conditions, anyone who does this kind of thing really ought to be considered guilty of malpractice and certainly professional misconduct. It's dangerous, in the gene therapy setting, we do these kinds of manipulations as a society. We accept it in the course of trying to do good and heal suffering or heal illness and ease suffering. But to do the same kinds of dangerous things to healthy young athletes, I think, is really unconscionable.
Do you ever get any flack for criticizing gene doping? Is there a pro-doping community?
Oh, yes.
Is that right?
Oh, yes. There's a very active, vocal pro-doping community that, in fact, has suggested that there ought to be established something called the World Doping Agency. Their argument is that athletes should be given the opportunity to do anything and everything that they can in order to achieve the best results in sport, run the fastest, jump the highest, and so on, no matter what the mechanism of that that so-called achievement is. And to the point where even some of them have recommended that it would be all right, not only for drugs, but it would be all right, for instance, surgically to construct webbing between fingers and toes of some swimmers so that they have a more powerful stroke. That would be okay. And the use of steroids and the use of genes is fine because the real test of an achievement in sport is the end result, not the means of getting there.
Mm. This is Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flatow talking with Dr. Theodore Friedman. So they're saying we should be allowed to do anything we want. And we might even want, and if we want to do gene doping to make our muscle mass bigger, that's okay. Or to grow new appendages on our bodies, that would be okay.
I think that the according to that argument, there are very few limits to on what would be permissible in sport.
Do you think then that there's a possibility that kids, just like they've emulated their athletes in baseball, who've seen steroids taking off and they don't want to use steroids in high school and there's great usage of it, might be looking at gene doping now?
I think that the lessons are there to be had, and certainly children and young athletes, high school athletes, are going to come away from that argument with a certain conclusion, and that is, sport is not the effort and the striving, but it's the distance you hit the ball and the speed with which you run and the height that you can achieve in a jump. It's just the final end result, not the way you get there, and the end justifies the means, any means you would like to use to get there. That, I think, is sad. It certainly is it's sad to think that that's the level at which we like to have sport sink, and not to have sport be a test of human achievement and human effort. My own view is that sport really is a very profound human activity. I think all primitive societies have some kind of competition, athletic competition, and so there's something very basic about sport that one really needs to honor, and to say that there's nothing different with sport, and that one can simply let it be driven by biotechnology and by the most clever sort of biologists lurking in the shadows. I think that's very sad, and certainly destroys our concept of sport.
Well, you know, what has happened in the past, a lot of the training methods in sports that athletes use, and even the devices we now find in our homes, our treadmills, things like that we never had years ago.
Yeah.
Could gene doping also be a wedge that if we allow it in sports, people will say, hey, I want that for other things that are not sport-related?
Well, I think, yeah, that's quite right. Sport is a particularly vulnerable area because because we all love sport, and there's so much pressure in sport to achieve. There's so much money in sport that this approach to so-called improving ourselves, enhancing non-disease traits, is likely to find an outlet in sport before it does in other areas. Mm-hmm. But sport will lead the way, and it opens a very broad societal question of genetic enhancement in other areas, not just in sport, but in our daily lives.
Mm-hmm. Considering the fact that there was this anecdotal evidence about this German coach and trying to get a hold of some of these medications, the gene doping for his athletes, are the Olympic doctors now actively looking for gene doping this coming Olympics?
Not actively looking by any testing methods, but I think their antennas are up, and obviously there will be suspicions and rumors floating around this Olympics, as there are all Olympics in the last decade or so. So the level of suspicion is there, and probably a little higher than it has been. But I don't think that there's any active testing for it.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Friedman, thank you.
You're very welcome.
For enlightening us about that. Dr. Theodore Friedman is chair of the World Anti-Doping Agency's Gene Doping Expert Group and professor in the Department of Pediatrics at the University of California, San Diego, and La Jolla. Thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Greg Smith composed our theme music and we helped today. We had help today from NPR librarian Kim Molesky. If you have comments or questions, write to us at Science Friday. Surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. We've got a double header. 2-for-1 videos up there, and our video, Flora's podcasts, video cats of the week. So go over there and take a look at them, and you can also download our new iPhone app and watch and take Science Friday with you. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. I'm Ira Flatow in New York.